Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come and speak your truth to us, Lord. Change us, mold us, shape us in your truth. Help us, Lord, to accept your truth. Help us leave behind our comforting lies and believe fully in you, no matter what it would take, no matter what it would cost. Help us find and see your truth. Be with us now, Lord, and speak. Help us have eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to receive. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In the Gospel of John, in its 18th chapter, the 37th and 38th verse, there's a very profound statement that Jesus makes, and a very profound question that's asked in return to Jesus by a man known as Pilate. It is during one of the various trials that Jesus faces in one day, wrongfully accused, wrongfully there, and wrongfully sentenced to crucifixion for crimes he did not commit, to appease an angry mob. Nevertheless, there's this statement that Jesus makes, and this question Pilate asks, and it's found here in John 18, 37 through 38. The word of the Lord speaks to us and says, "Then Pilate said to him, 'So you are a king?' Jesus answered, 'You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice.' Pilate said to him, 'What is truth?' After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, 'I find no guilt in him.'" Here in a little while, we're going to be digging more into this. This profound statement Jesus made, this profound question Pilate asked Jesus in return: what is truth? But before we get into there, we have to lay some very important groundwork. As we will today be embarking on a brand new journey as a family of families, as we engage in a very new series that we have titled Veritas. Now, some of you may be aware of this, but for those who are not, this is the Latin word for truth. Therefore, today as a family of families, we are departing on a quest to know truth, to find truth, and to receive truth. You may think this would be a simple task, but in this day and age of confusion and misdirection we live in, this can be a difficult endeavor, as truth is the last thing many in our culture and society truly want. What is truth? The question Pilate asked, the question I believe we ask, the profound question throughout the ages: what is truth? What is the truth? In fact, I find myself asking this question quite a bit in my house, especially when I find spilt marshmallows and root beer all over the kitchen floor. Okay, who did it? No, she did it. He did it. Little Bubby did it. I don't care who did it. Tell me what the truth is. The truth is an interesting thing. It's powerful. It's convicting. Truth is transforming. Truth demands change. It demands that we would repent, turn from the lies that we have come to accept, and to receive and hold tightly to it. Truth demands we hold it dear. Truth demands we live our life in the way truth intended for us to live. Truth matters. But what is the truth? What is truth? And here's the sticking point. To know the truth, we must first know what truth is and what it is not. And one of the things and the points of confusion I find in our society today is we've all come up with our own definition to what truth is, and it isn't what truth is. To answer Pilate's question and to understand Jesus' statement in John chapter 18, we must have a definition, a working and true definition, a true definition of truth. A definition we have lost completely. Even though our dictionaries will define this word for us, you can simply Google, what is the definition of truth? And this is what it will tell you. One, there's three. One, the quality or state of being true. That sounds good. Two, that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. That sounds good too. We're really on a roll here. I think Google's doing a good job. But then there's the third, a fact or belief that is accepted as true. And to stretch this last definition to its inevitable logical conclusion, this says whatever you believe or accept as true, therefore must be true. But is that true? Throw those first two definitions out the window. It has nothing to do with facts. It has nothing to do with reality. It has nothing to do with something truly being true. It just has everything to do with you and what you think is true. That is what this definition of truth states, and it's an inevitable conclusion. And just as we discussed in length this past Wednesday night during our family night, this is by and large what our society defines as true. But in this, to make this the definition of truth is to make nothing true. Because you see, you can't have two opposing truths that can't exist, that can't be. 2 + 2 will always equal 2. I know some of you are still there with me because I got those weird looks. 2 + 2 always equals 4. It's a fact of the matter. It is the truth. It can't be changed. It will always be that. You see, in this day and age that thinks that and teaches that truth is a relative construct of what one holds dear and believes, it is comforting to believe this to be the definition of truth, because we're the ones in control. We have authority over the truth. We get to decide what is truth, and we find comfort in this because we can make the truth whatever makes us feel good. We can make the truth whatever makes us feel comfortable. We determine the truth, and this is a lie in itself. We're lying to ourselves when we do this. Because once again, there can't be more than one truth. What happens when there's more than one truth? There is division, there is discord, there is hatred that is spewed because how dare you tell me my truth is wrong and your truth is right? If you don't believe me, turn on CNN or Fox News for 5 minutes and see for yourself. Google something about COVID and you're going to see a wall of diverse opinions claiming to be true. But what is truth? There cannot be two truths. There cannot be. Imagine a court case with me, if you could. The defense has done their best job, and they have proven that their client is innocent, just like the prosecution has proven their client is guilty. The jury has gone into a room, and they began to make a verdict, and they're all unanimous. They all come out to lay out the verdict, and they say that the defendant is guilty and not guilty at the same time, because both the defense and the prosecution really believe hard that they're right. And because they believe it is right, therefore it must be true. Both realities must be true. Granted, I think we call this a hung jury in our culture, but nevertheless, it's what happens when we allow truth to be a construction of our mind. Truth can never come from within us. Truth is given to us. What then is truth? Truth is absolute. The first two definitions given by Google are good. The quality state of being true, and that which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. Truth is and must be absolute. Once again, it also isn't something that comes from us. It is something we must receive. It is something we must accept. And to not accept the truth is to accept a lie. Because the reality is the truth always remains the same. It is the same. Yesterday, today, and always. It never changes. The culprit of the spilt marshmallows and root beer will always be the culprit. And the truth will always come out eventually. The truth will come to light. All that is in darkness will come to the light, as the word reminds us. But what is the truth? The Bible teaches us Jesus is the truth. Jesus also contains within him the very thing that the truth contains within itself, as Hebrews 13:8 shows us. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus himself testifies to this about himself, that he said on John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. To which not only do the words of Jesus, the words of God's word, teach us this, his actions demonstrate to us that Jesus is just this. Jesus is many things. In fact, we have these beautiful palette wood signs all around our sanctuary talking about the various things that Jesus said, I am. One of these things is that he is the truth. Why then do we, by and large, in our culture today, refuse to receive the truth that we have been given? Well, once again, truth can be convicting. It's transforming. It demands that we would change. It demands that we would repent and change the way we live, to let go of the comforting lies in our lives and to receive and hold on to the truth and never let it go. Truth requires us to be different, to think different, to live different. In this truth, there's always great sacrifice. Think about where the truth led Jesus. It led him to the cross. In living for truth, there will always be sacrifice. This is why even today, many professing Christians struggle in our culture to accept truth for what truth actually is. It is an uncomfortable reality to the truths that we have all constructed in our own minds by our own beliefs, following the third definition of truth while throwing those first two definitions out the window. We want truth to make us feel good. We want truth to give us those good warms and fuzzies in our culture, when the reality is the truth wasn't given to us to do that. The truth can hurt. And sometimes telling someone the truth, actually all the time telling someone the truth, even though it hurts, is the right thing to do. Because the truth does hurt. Nevertheless, no matter how much it hurts, we are told to accept it nonetheless. No matter how much it shows us we have things backwards, we are told to change nonetheless. In today's world, They don't want to be confronted by the actual truth. Even in today's church, many don't want to be confronted by what is truly true. I think about what the theologian and preacher N.T. Wright once said about this. People often get upset, he says, when you teach them what is in the Bible rather than what they presume is in the Bible. People often get upset when you teach them what is in the Bible rather than what they presume is in the Bible. It's because what we presume brings us comfort. It's what we presume gives us those warm and fuzzies. But it's when we come face to face with the actual truth that we realize, I've been called to change. I have been called to be made different. I have been called to be born again. And in this world of lies, we have grown accustomed to reject that truth. For to accept the truth would be to sacrifice everything we know and believe to be true. This is something that was made abundantly clear nearly 2,000 years ago. As the truth had come, the truth had been revealed, the truth stood against the text and was proven true. Nevertheless, the truth still remained on trial. Nearly 2,000 years ago, the truth was put on trial, in fact, faced six trials. Three religious trials, three legal trials. The truth was asked to prove itself, even though the truth had done this time and time again. And even when the truth was sentenced to death and died upon the cross, the truth didn't remain in that state, but burst forth from the grave. For the truth is the truth. And Jesus did exactly what he said he would do, proving yet again that he is the truth. Nevertheless, the truth has still remained on trial in the hearts and minds of all of humanity, even though the truth has proven itself time and time again. We still put it on trial. And here's the thing. No matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we want the truth to not be the truth, how hard we want our truth to be the truth, it's never going to change the truth. The truth is always the truth because it is the truth. Nothing else can replace it. Nothing else can circumvent it. Nothing else can go around it. The truth is always the truth. In fact, the more we try, the harder we try, we find ourselves falling further and further into lies. Think about the trials that Jesus faced during his life and ministry, especially on that last day before the crucifixion, being led before the Sanhedrin, then being led to the Pharisees, then being led back to the Sanhedrin. Think about what they had to do to convict the truth. They had to spew lies. They had to speak lies. They had to violate their very own law just to convict the truth. Because the only way to convict the truth and circumvent and replace the truth is to replace it with a lie. It is the only way to do this. And even when they bring truth to Pilate, Pilate sends truth to Herod. Back to Pilate, the only way they can convince them to convict the truth is with bold-faced lies. We found this man misleading our nation, the Bible says, and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar. Well, that truly is a bold-faced lie. For Jesus himself says to render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God. They do say he says that he's the Christ, the King. Well, funny enough, that's the truth. A truth that Jesus didn't hide when someone brought it up. In fact, when his disciple says, "You are the Christ," what is it he says? "You got it. You got it right." In fact, when Pilate confronts him, "Are you a king?" he says, "Yes, but my kingdom is not of this world. It's not a physical, worldly kingdom like you see your kingdom. It is a heavenly kingdom." But the point of this is they have to falsely accuse truth. They have to lie about truth to convict truth. So do we. And this is what we see time and time again in this day and age. Because we struggle to accept truly what is the truth, for what the truth is. And we're going to read about one of these trials, the fourth trial, actually, before Pilate, as we turn back to John chapter 18. And read of this passage in its entirety from John 18, 28 through 38. And I ask you to do something today as we read this. Put yourself there. Put yourself in this situation. Put yourself with the crowds, with Pilate, next to Jesus. And just ask what it is you see. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show by what means of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You said that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." How do you see Pilate asking this question? Does he ask it sarcastically? Does he ask it rhetorically? I don't think so. I think he's literally just kind of like me, whenever I'm trying to get the truth out of my children. What is the truth? Just tell me, what is the truth? Why are you here? What is this truth that you're saying that you came to bring? And the reality is, the truth was right there in front of him. Pilate saw the truth in flesh and blood. And much like Pastor Frankie talked about last week, Jesus could be there right in front of us, and we could choose. We could choose to reject him. Just like Pilate would choose to reject him. For we know where this story goes. We know where the history takes us. We know what happens to Jesus. Pilate will send him forth to be crucified for a crime he didn't commit. Even though Pilate is warned. Pilate is warned by his wife who has this dream. And what it says in Pilate is warned by his wife in a dream And it says this in Matthew 27:19. Besides, while he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered much because of him today in a dream." Pilate was warned that, hey, don't do this. But he does it nonetheless. Why? Well, I've said this multiple times, but and I don't mean to repeat myself here, but this is important to understand. Truth is convicting. Truth is challenging. Truth can be uncomfortable. It demands us to change. And for Pilate to release Jesus in that moment, instead of appeasing all the rabble-rousers outside, for him to release Jesus, because even Pilate says it himself, "I find no fault in this man," would be to say that Jesus was true and what they were saying was false. It could have caused an uprising. It could have caused a great riot. And what would Caesar have done to Pilate if he found out that Pilate couldn't control the Jews any longer? That Pilate was failing as a governor to keep the peace, to keep what they conceived as true rather than living in the truth. It would have cost Pilate everything. It could have cost Pilate his very life. Because once again, to accept the truth, we must understand the truth demands sacrifice. To accept truth for what truth is, there is great sacrifice. The truth may cause you friendships. The truth may cause you family, to lose family. The truth may cause you to lose a career. The truth may indeed cause you to lose your life for the sake of the truth. Because we know something through Jesus. The truth is always the truth. There is no other truth. The ultimate question for us today in regards to how we should respond and understand the truth, in regards to the truth, is will we accept it or reject it? But what is truth? It's not what we believe. It's not what we feel real strongly about in our gut. It's not what gives us all the warm fuzzies. The truth is Jesus Christ. How do we know this truth? A question we're going to be digging further into as we continue to discuss the very nature of truth and how it is we come to know it, to know its power, to accept its conviction, and to be transformed by its demand of repentance. To leave behind the comforting lies of our life, to take hold of the wonderful promised hope that we have in Jesus Christ. It's harder than we think, because those lies that we've been holding on to, those comforting lies, they are comforting. They make us feel good inside, but they aren't the truth. There can't be more than one truth. And of course, we can give those candid Sunday school answers. Oh, you just need to read your Bible more, you need to pray more, you need to do this, but there's so much more to it. There is so much more than just mere knowledge. We can know a lot about the truth, but the ultimate question is, have we received the truth? Would we be willing to receive the word that God has given us? Would we be willing to receive truth? Because we can know a lot about the truth and still be left unmoved, untouched, and unchanged. And in this, do we really know the truth? The truth demands change. The truth demands transformation. The truth demands repentance. It demands us to leave behind the comforting lies and take hold of what is true, what is right, what is holy, to truly become children of the truth, children of light, children of God, leaving behind this world and being born again to the newness of life. As our worship team comes forward and up this morning to lead us at a time of response and reflection, I'd like us to respond on just this question. What are the comforting lies that we are still holding on to in this life? What are the comforting lies you're still using to deny and to live in disobedience to the truth? What is it in our lives that we have failed to let go of? Where is it that we just still kind of push Jesus out of? To seek the Lord and to have him reveal this to us so that we would not be like Pilate. Having the truth right in front of us, the answer right before us, and still wondering what is truth. Jesus makes it clear. He is the truth. There is no other truth. He is the truth. Definitive. It is so easy to reject the truth because it may be a little uncomfortable. May we be challenged by our word and by our Lord to know that even though the truth may make us feel uncomfortable, that doesn't mean it is any less the truth. And that we would receive the truth and what the truth demands of us, no matter the sacrifice that it would call us to make. This is the word of the Lord. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen.